Hello and welcome. My name is Jessica Haynes.
And I'm Emma Jackson.
And we are here to introduce you to season three of our podcast.
Season three. Woo-hoo. First episode.
I know. So if you joined us over the summer, which obviously you did because we're awesome, you know we did a little bit of something to kind of just a little bit of a teaser and a taster to get back into the swing of the autumn. And we gave you some hints and tips about what was going on here. So yeah, we're here, we are ready, and we are all full of the fantasy. Join us.
Yeah. So what are we gonna, I suppose we should give a little intro about what we're gonna be talking about in episode one. We will have done a trailer.
We will have done it.
We haven't done it yet. This is the magic of pre-recording.
Yes.
Yeah, we will have done a trailer to explain what's happening in this series. And this episode we're talking about gateway romances, fantasy romances,
how it all started,
where it began for us, the books that were like, oh yeah, this is for me and I want to find more of it. And that's what's going to be a bit different about this season, is because it's going to be like a separate choices.
I think you'll see a bit more of where our foul little minds work in our choices of this.
I'm really excited about it because it's like, I love doing the other seasons where we've decided together and we see where our taste crosses over. But I think it's going to be really good seeing like the different sides of the diagram, the Venn diagram.
Yeah, the Venn diagram,
what's
where we actually
Jess's
meet.
Circle, what's in my circle and where they overlap.
Kind of in the middle. It is. When I saw your list, I was quite surprised that there weren't as many that I would have read and would have been in my list.
Really?
So it's really,
I think it's the same with yours. I think I've only got a couple that I've already read, other than ones that you've recommended me since we've been doing the podcast. So, but it does make sense in a way. But yeah, it's going to be cool. So yeah, we'll start talking to you about that.
Are we ready? Are we steady?
Yeah.
Go!
Okay, so we're here for the meat of the show. We've done the taster, the appetizer. I know, I've already said something that's going to make you laugh.
We've been through all the crudités before we've even started this. We're already, we've had pudding as well. This is second.
We put
second
the crude breakfast in crudités. Possible title for the show.
There we go. It is now. That's it. It has nothing to do with what we're reading, but tough.
That's what it's going to be called. Yeah, so what got you into fantasy romance, Jess? Where did you start out? What were you reading a lot before you got into fantasy romance? Or
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
We're not a big reading family. So my book experience was from my mum's sister. She got two of them, so I will specify. She's my mum's the oldest, so the next one down, Mandy. And whenever we'd go, she had a bookshelf and she was horror and crime and the murdery kind of thing. So I knew about like the Zodiac Killer and Charles Manson and that kind of stuff as a young age.
Yep.
So my first introduction was like Cujo and It in my in my repertoire at the beginning. And then then Point Horror when I kind of got a little bit older and picked up books as we've done before.
Strange to go.
I went backwards.
Point Horror.
Don't even start me on the clown thing. I can't be doing the clowns. But so that was kind of my gateway, and we never really had books. But then I was kind of one of these people that I don't think people would hate, but I did. I found Twilight and I read that.
Yeah.
And I went through all those books and it was like, oh, this is quite interesting. I do all this. And I didn't do Harry Potter to start with. I know a lot of people did, but I never really kind of touched that. I did Twilight and then stepped away from it all. And then I watched The Avengers and I really got into fan fiction with Loki and Thor. And that was kind of, that's when I started writing more. Weirdly. And then, so I really got into fanfic.net and, what was it called? AO3 or whatever it was, doing all of that sort of stuff. And yeah, so I dabbled and just went through notebooks and yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because it's kind of like I've always been a reader.
Well, it's like you were the beginning. You were
a little bookwormy person. I mean, it's neither of my parents were really readers. My dad's more of a reader now because I keep buying him books and he enjoys them. He's retired.
You will read. You will.
Yeah. But he used to encourage me and he would buy me like secondhand books on his way home from work, which again, weird reading at like teenage levels. It was like I'd done point horror and I needed to move on from something. And I did like all of Agatha Christie.
Yes.
Like I went through everything Agatha Christie at my library. And then he would buy me like spy thrillers and things Ooh, like that.
Nice.
Like Alistair MacLean ones and things like that. Or MacLean, I can't remember how you say it.
Like John MacLean, like Die Hard.
Yeah, that's it, MacLean. Yeah, so I went from that. And then like, it's what you read at school. I think like in secondary school, you kind of get taken over just by what you have to read, don't you, in terms of, you know.
Yeah.
Set texts and things, but I was like really geeky because I quite enjoyed them.
I didn't enjoy mine.
Yeah, and then leaving school, it was more sporadic, and I'd just go and like pick like literary things, and I might find some that I like, and then others that I didn't particularly. So it was like kind of really slow for me to realise that I was starting to try and find books that had romance.
Yeah, where it was.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was Twilight. So I like, you know, the film came out because I was quite slow to it. The film came out and I kept seeing the trailer. And I was like, looks interesting. Everybody's talking about it. I've got the book and I read it and I was like, this is fun. I really like it. I love like the rush of it and stuff. You know, obviously everybody has opinions on Twilight, but just for the pure girl having a crush on someone type thing, it was fun. But with vampires too.
And then the werewolves come in. And...
Yeah, and that kind of got me into YA. So I would read YA fantasy and I did like, and there were so many, not that there aren't good ones now, but I don't really read it now, but there were amazing YA coming out at that time that was like, obviously there was Hunger Games. Then there was, what else did I read? I did like the City of Bones stuff. Any Maggie Stiefwater stuff, there was Brenna Yonov, The Winner's Curse, Lunar Chronicles, all of those ones. And that kind of got me really realizing that it was like, yeah, I want the fantasy or the sci-fi adventure and intrigue and plot, but I just always wanted to have that
extra in it.
Yeah, that romance subplot at least.
Yeah.
Before I then found a couple of adult.
Of the good stuff.
Yeah, I like, I got recommended them, my first ones, because I used to spend time on Goodreads. It's a scary place for me now. Yeah. I don't go there now. It's but I was like in a couple of forums, and we did like challenges for each other where people recommended like their favourite books for, I think it was like 5 favourites, and we all swapped.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, and two of them, the two that I'm going to talk about today, were from
okay.
Me.
Yeah. Okay. So my two came from the library here. So we moved here when I was up the Duff with the youngest. And then I had him. I'm pregnant if that doesn't translate to other countries.
I don't know if they use that anywhere else.
I have no idea what it means. Yeah, I was pregnant with my youngest and the elder two were going to school, and I found the library and I went and spoke to the librarian, and she kind of, a closet moment of, come with me, and she gave me a pile of things. Yeah,
yeah.
So she get the two that I've got that kind of really did it for me were in that pile. Mm-hmm. So,
do you want to reveal what are your titles?
Well, are we going for both, or are we going to have a main and a second?
Do you want to do that? You want to speak about one that's a main one, and then like additional.
Well, my main one was my main one was, it was Dark Sky by Cressley Cole. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it had the dude on the cover and he had the lightning wings, and I was like, ooh, what's this then? He's like, look at this.
I love it.
Yeah, so that was it. And yeah, there was a few others, and I took it home, and that one was on the top, and I went through it, and it was really weird. Again, as we were chatting about earlier, it kind of jumped straight in to loads of stuff going on, and I didn't realize at the time that it was like number however many in the series.
Oh, right. So I
came in at mid-series in this world, and thinking, Jesus, there's so much going on and so many people, and it was just, and then lost.
So is that the Immortals After Dark series?
Yeah, so it's the Immortals After Dark, and it was, I did write down book 15. It was 15.
Yes.
I know. I feel so
did you
dirty.
Go straight back to one when
I
you
did.
Realized
this is it? And I went in because if you know the series, I know you're not as au fait as me. They start in, depends how much detail you want me to go into here, but they start in like an underground place, in like a facility, and then when you read the books before, you realize what the hell is happening in this facility. So this book starts with them breaking out of a facility, and it's like,
is that the warrior wants forever, or the warlord wants forever? Is that the first one? No,
that's like probably 12 or 13 in the very, very beginning.
I thought that was the first one.
Loads more happens.
Does she split them? Has she got like different streams of series, and then they tie together?
Yes, there's loads of different ones. So there's the Dacians, who are a different set of vampires, who are still kind of within the number, the shadow bit, Shadow's Realm and Shadow's Claim, I think, something like that. And they're kind of another bit. And then, there's the Valkyries are like a big source, and then there's the demons. This was it. There was so much going on with the kings and the Rhystrums and the basically. And it's like, what the hell is one of this? Why is this doing this? Why is that doing that? Oh my God, I was getting so high pitched. But what about you? Okay. As like, before we get into this hour and 7 billion minutes long episode.
So mine was Untied Kingdom by Kate Johnson, which is completely other end of the spectrum
from
to
that one,
paranormal romance in a way, because it was her debut, I believe, and she's a UK author, and I've read quite a few books by her now that I'll probably mention like later on, and she's got something coming out soon. I will do a drop for her. It's called Hex Appeal, and it's coming out this October, so it's probably out now, which is all witchy rom-com goodness. But I haven't read it, but I'm assuming because I've read her other stuff.
Yeah, all this stuff.
And I love witches and rom-com.
It's just a given.
So Untied Kingdom is like a kind of alternative universe portal type thing. So, and it's like dystopia as well. It's quite a mashup of genres. I think the dystopia was probably what I felt most recognition for when I picked it up. Obviously I'd been recommended it and was doing it for a challenge anyway, so I was going to give it a go no matter what, but knowing that it was like a dystopia type thing, like fed into the YA sort of fantasy stuff I've been doing anyway. But it starts with in our universe, an old pop star, and she's been in like a band kind of like the Spice Girls, which have ended, and she's now like in quite hard straits, and she's having to do a reality TV show for like has-beens, and part of this is just humiliating herself, and they've sent her off paragliding in London, and she's going like near Tower Bridge and London Bridge and stuff, and she must just go through this portal, and she lands in the river, but she's in the river in an alternative universe where England, the United Kingdom, is like a civil war, and it's like really backwards. It's like it's not developed because they've been at war for so long. You know, they don't understand about our technology. Like, I think they've got like 6 computers in the whole country, and there's this whole plot to do with spying on the other side and stuff like that. And it's just funny. The guy on the other side is Major Harker. And he's like a real no-nonsense, hard-as-nails sort of military guy, but he's great. I mean, like, it's kind of like the alpha in the way that I like, in that, you know, he's got his ex-wife is above him. I think she's a colonel or something, but they still talk, they still get on. It's like, you know, like, there's none of the obvious evil ex type scenarios and things like that. And he rescues her from the sea, not the sea, the Thames, not the sea. And they think she's a spy. She's either a spy or she's insane, basically.
Yeah, which would make sense.
This is the thing. And then they have to go out on this like mission, and she's the only one that can help them because she's been talking about the fact that she knows about, you know, telephones are normal to her, and yeah, she understands computers and things. So they're going to use her for this mission and trying to figure out whether or not she's an undercover agent. But they really clash. It's very bantery. It's like funny.
This is it. So when I've gone back through mine, so I haven't fully read it because I know then that I'd go back to number one and go again, because that's just how it is with these ones. And I'm kind of like, well, what is it? What drew me in? What kind of made it stand out? And it was stuff like, yeah, the banter in this one really just pulled me in. It just, every single thing that they said, just I could imagine with my popcorn just watching them talking to each other, and it was just fantastic. And then all the other characters, the side characters, all had so much going to them, and it was just, yeah, I couldn't find, if I was to pick a fault, I would say it was found too late. I needed to find it years before. I can't obviously there will be bits that people would pick up and point out to me, but I'd say no, I don't care, because it's awesome.
It was just, I think for me, because I'd enjoyed some of that in like YA fantasy and stuff, you get a lot of the same elements, but I think it like tipped just slightly more into the romance being the focus, doesn't it? Yes. Like it highlights how much of a balance it is between having this driving force of a good plot that's tied into the relationship, but also the relationship being like what you're really invested in as well. Whereas I think like even in YA fantasy that has romance in it, they tend to be a little bit more sprawling, and you know, you have other love interest, then it can, you know, move around and
your love triangle.
It did wound me about love triangles.
Which is weird when you said Twilight. I could imagine that's the worst thing for you.
It was just easy because it was like I was never going to be interested in the werewolves. I'm sorry. I like a werewolf now, but only if I'm like, if that's what I'm in for. I'm one of those readers that is like the first love interest.
That's
the one I get committed to, the first love interest. You know, I don't like it when someone else comes along who's supposed to be better, or like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, could they tempt me away? I just go for the three. I'm just.
Well, that's a whole other area.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that wouldn't have been in that book, would it?
Yeah. Yes. That's it. Early days for that. Absolutely. And I mean, it's weird because like it makes me think about the differences between YA and adult, and how like it's quite blurry really, because like there's some YA, and I think I've got a couple later on in the series that I'm going to talk about, because even though we generally do adult, I would say maybe they'd be classed more as new adult now.
This is it, yeah. So I didn't read a lot of YA, I read more now, but it doesn't seem what I would consider YA. It does seem to be the sex is a bit more, it's a lot more graphic in parts than I would expect from YA. I would think to give my kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, even though Untied Kingdom's funny, it's also talking about some quite serious stuff about war and what people go through, and it's quite graphic in places, you know, there's things that happen, so always check trigger warnings. This is your space for saying that. But I mean, like, even with like when you think about sex in adult books, I mean, you can read adult books and it's still closed door, or you still only get, and that can be the same for even fantasy romances. There's all levels of it. And then you can read a YA fantasy and the characters still have sex, because that's not unrealistic. Teenagers have sex.
That's what they do.
You know, and they learn about things. It's just like, I think quite often it's age, isn't it, that tends to, the age of the characters tends to dictate it mostly, but not always. Again, you can get adult fantasy, which is the characters are only 18 or something. So it's all woolly. But it was, that was what like really got me into I love this blend, I love this mix, and just a bit more focus on the romance, which I think you tend to get more in the adult romance.
Yes, nowadays. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We like it. We like it, like it.
Dip.
So what about your second one then?
Right. Well, my second one was another one from that challenge. And I think it was the same person. I don't know where she is now.
I was going to say, who is this
she
person? Does,
but she obviously had taste that was similar to mine, or, mm-hmm. or that I didn't even know. And it was this one. I got an actual physical book.
Ooh, yeah, I had this.
It's book. Heart's Blood, and it's Juliet Marillier. I don't know how you say the surname. Marillier? I don't know. She's an Australian. Right.
Correct us if we're wrong. Yeah. Please feel free.
I'm terrible with pronouncing names. And that is a Beauty and the Beast retelling.
Classic. Yeah. Classic tropes.
It's quite very firmly kind of folklore-y, mystical. I think it's in Ireland, and it like with the English coming and taking over towns and stuff. It's a bit woolly, I'll be honest. I read that one when I was pregnant and I had very bad morning sickness. And I don't know about you, but there are some books I can't reread that I read when I had morning sickness because they still get the aversion. It took me a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like when you get like aversion therapy, it was like work like that, because I just remember feeling really nauseous reading it. And yet, I still really, really loved it.
You really loved it?
Yeah. Aww. And yeah, it's quite interesting because I'd probably read a couple of Beauty and the Beast retellings and stuff. And that was before you tended to get like, it was still in the vein of the Beast having to break the curse to then become, you know, a person again, like his normal self.
Not anymore.
This is it. Mm-hmm. And this is what I realized when I was doing the notes for this. Now, in this one, it's like up at an old haunted place, and I think the main character has to go up there for a job to help, like, I think she's being a scribe, she's writing stuff. But the Beast, the hero, he's frightening and he's distanced from people, but because of chronic illnesses, he's treated as other. So okay. He doesn't have like another form or anything. And spoiler alert, he doesn't get fixed. It's not their love, you know, because he's, and I mean, that for then, I think was quite different. You know, he gets to the end of it and there's still stuff that he can't quite manage to do. But then there's other things that he finds he can do because she's helped him and accepted him.
It's not a hindrance.
Even though it's like the love story is central, obviously, because it's Beauty and the Beast, it's like probably in terms of what I would look for in a fantasy romance these days. You know, it's fairly light on the sex scenes. I'll be honest, I like sex scenes. You know, I like the payoff. I like the tension and the payoff. Mm.
Not too much tension, though.
Closed lip there, as if we don't know.
Not too much tension. Well, you've not had my second book yet, so let's just keep going.
Yeah.
See the differences between ours, but the similarities between them.
And I read another book by her, which was Daughter of the Forest, which was really, really good as well. I remember flying through that one. And again, it's quite a thick fantasy-led one. And with that one, I don't think the love interest turns up until at least a third, maybe half of the way through.
Ooh.
And that one really does have trigger warnings to it. It's quite harsh in places, but it's a retelling of the Children of Lear, the Six Swans folklore tale, which is not one that I knew particularly.
No, I was going to say, that's not one that's on my radar.
But yeah, it's, those were the ones when I was like, oh yeah, I like this and I'm going to try and find more of these things. And then it was like, How do you find more?
How do you find more of these?
Where are they?
You need these librarians with the little things.
That's it. Yeah. I never thought that. It would not have helped me. There's like the romance section in my local library is tiny. Like a shelf of Mills and Boone.
This was it. So I think they seem a lot more mainstream to me because I found them quite easy after I I found them initially. So my second one is something that a lot of people know, which is a J.R. Ward, which is the Black Dagger Brotherhood. Okay. So yeah, and this one was luckily the first in the series that I read. Yeah. So it was quite nice. I will bring mention of something that does bother me a little bit, which is nothing against her. It's just maybe my British name. That's linked to it. Yeah, it is. My Britishness with the names, because it does make me giggle. But yeah, so it was the first one in the series, which is Dark Lover, which is the king of the vampires and the society and the brotherhood who protect all the other vampires. But weirdly, yeah, he is the blind king. He has a visual impairment in this one.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, very,
how
very
are we managing to link our things? I have no idea.
You're chatting and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, this is a little bit close to the bone. But yeah, so he has a visual impairment in this, and he wears his glasses, and it doesn't hinder him. The hindrance is kind of his brain thinking that he can't help his brothers enough, but he does. He still goes out and does it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he is Wraith, I suppose, depending on what you say. He's Wraith. And yeah, so he's not a people person. He doesn't like the humans. Seeing patterns with Thranos, who is the dude in Dark Sky.
Yeah.
Doesn't like people. Very alpha-y, very dark and broody.
Yeah.
And yeah, and one of his brothers, Darius, kind of asks him for a favor, helping his half daughter transition to being a vampire. So the kind of the half human, half vampires, they don't transition well if they don't have help, and lots of them don't survive. And the king is like, no, don't want to, don't like people, even half people, no. And then Darius gets
sympathize with him.
Pretty much. But yeah, Darius then gets blown up by a car bomb, so kind of ties his hands.
Yeah.
And leaves him a note. You know, if the car bomb wasn't enough.
enough to guilt you in it.
Yeah, there's a note that his butler, who's
is
called
it
Fritz,
in his blood when he was dying from the car bomb?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a note that's like, oh, if you've not got this, please look after my daughter. And he was like, yeah, sealed it.
And how does he look after her?
Oh, yes, he kind of goes there and it is mine, Fated Mates.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So was Dark Sky a Fated Mates one for you?
Yes. So in Dark Sky, they're quite similar. Yeah, so they meet. So he is a Reckoner, which is quite these massive winged beings in the sky. Mm-hmm. And she is a sorcerer, so her name is Melanthe, and they meet as children, but these two things are opposing. It's the Romeo and Juliet kind of thing.
Right.
These in the sky hate the magic and the unknown of these sorcerers, and the sorcerers hate the Reckoners because they're trying to, you know, wipe out the sorcerers. But they meet as children, and he realizes that she is his, so they look out for each other. And then a year or two later, something happens, and his family, who kind of rule this sky palace, meet her family, and they kill her parents, and he's there with his brother, and she's there with her sister, and it just kind of all hell breaks loose. They kill her parents. They try to hurt her sister. Her sister does something back at them. So Lanthi she's the queen of persuasion, so she can put any thought into anybody's head.
Oh, right.
So she thinks that Thranos has told his people where she is, and she makes him jump out of the window of the tower, but don't open your wings. So he flies out the window and smashes all the way down, and he's too young, he's not hit his immortality yet.
Yeah.
So he destroys everything, his face, his wings, and they stay. So when she comes out of the facility at the beginning, he's kind of this massive hulking creature after that, and he's been chasing her for 500 years because she is his, and he will do what he wants with her, and it's awesome.
Oh my.
But Wraith isn't so bad. He kind of
he's all right with that. Now you've talked about that one.
I should have probably led with her in the beginning. But yeah, no, he does want to, but he doesn't want to. And there's the big up and down with it with him. And they've got these lessers. It's the Lessening Society who are kind of linked to this Omega, who is kind of like the devil-esque person. Who are they? Yeah. The vampires are trying to wipe them out because they feed off people. And yeah, so there's a big life and death with that in the midst, and they can't let people see, and he's got to bring Beth in, and yeah, it's awesome. And you meet all of the others, you meet So this is my only bugbear is the names, because it makes me giggle, because there's rage and sadist, and they're all spelt just a bit differently, and it just makes me giggle.
Yeah,
these dudes in massive leather trousers and massive biker boots, and they're covered in throwing stars, and it just makes me giggle when I read it. It's called Rage.
I have to admit, I remember, like, that was one of the ones I tried, but I only read the sample of it because I think I got to the name and I was like, I can't do this. Now, I think I would be fine, but it was because it was like early stages of me discovering what I liked in that way.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, oh, that's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is it. They're like, yeah, they have to. So these lessers, they have to give their heart and their soul. So they literally take their heart from their chest and they put it in a jar. And the only way you can properly kill them is to smash the heart.
Yeah.
So the Omega puts like a bit of himself where the heart should be.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, these big, dark, black moments that are happening when people are having their chests torn open, and then Fury comes in and it just makes me giggle. And it does.
That's your ones are giving me Avengers vibes anyway.
Yes.
It sounds like Thanos in the first place.
Yes.
And then you're like Fury. I'm thinking Nick Fury. Samuel
Jackson. Yeah, really. Which one's Loki? Like, I need to find.
The difference between Anne's was like mine was still quite grounded in real world stuff with magical elements or just sci-fi elements. And then yours were like full on. Paranormal world building, creatures everywhere.
But this is it. So they are set in the world. They are all here. So one I think is in New York-y place. It's America somewhere. I can't remember where because my geography is horrendous. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think a lot of Cressley Cole's stuff has lots of other worlds. But I think they do live centrally. Yeah. The Valkyries are in America.
Yeah.
They're just there. Yeah. So So and then the world that she morphs around it, fantastic.
Very different. It'll be interesting to see where we then went from there, how we ended up. Is it much different now? I don't know.
I kind of still go for more of the darker side of things. Mm. And I do edge into a little bit more rom-com-iness with my fantasy, but probably from recommendations from you, honestly, over the last few years.
Yeah.
Because, if it's the stuff that I normally read, that took me over, especially the last year and a half, into the monster side of things.
Yeah.
Which, it's not always darker, but you can easily see where the darker elements are.
Monster romance sounds like it's perfect in a way, because you can get the darker side of it, and then you can also get quite a cozy side. There's a very cozy side to monster romance too, a lot of found family stuff and just niceness.
They're all quite cuddly. How could you not want to snuggle up something warm and fuzzy?
Some of them aren't cuddly.
Some not so much, but a lot are.
Cool.
But this is it. Well, I was saying that, one of the darkest ones that I've read, you gave to me. So which was on this list, but then I honestly thought,
but that wasn't because I read it. That was just because I heard about it.
You gave it to me, so it counts.
Like, I've never read that book.
Did you not read it?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
I haven't read that one. No. I heard about it on Fated Mates, the other podcast.
But I honestly, my brain honestly thought that it was like paranormal or fantasy. Yeah, and you're like, is it? I'm the one that read it. I'm the one that read it. And I don't
honestly think it would be.
It really, it's one like the special that you could change it to fantasy so easily.
Yeah, there's plenty like that that are fantasy out there, sort of thing.
This is why I do it. I write that and then it gains wings. Always. Yeah.
Love the wings.
Mm.
So I think that's it, isn't it? I think that's our gateway romance, fantasy romance book. Yes. If you've got them, then come and let us know. What is our week two? Do you know what our week two episode two?
Week two, I do.
Thing is?
The as we will say in the trailer, Yeah, so we're looking at the tropes then, aren't we? We're coming mm-hmm. into the tropes after this. So we yeah. kind of tried to find mostly ones that were quite fantasy-based, which there are very specific ones that are.
Yeah.
You pick up a book and go, yeah, fantasy. So next week is politics / war. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, now I remember. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that we discovered planning out this series when I was looking at it as well, is that within like the fantasy and sci-fi romance, there's a lot of books that could land in many categories.
Yes.
Because very similar tropes, but then that makes sense because of the nature of their stories, basically, and what mm-hmm. makes them, you know, have the big plot lines alongside the romance too. So
there are so many of mine that I think we discussed it. It's like, I want to put it in that one, but it fits.
Found it so hard to decide. Mm. Like, I could have easily put Untied Kingdom in the war and politics one because it's they're at war. But
fated mates coming out my ears.
And there is another one that I had for this, which was one of my gateway ones, but I'm gonna talk about that later. So yeah.
All right. No,
I won't say where. I'll mention it when we come to do the episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool.
Awesome. But yeah, if you see this on all of the places, we are at SFF Romcast on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the TikTok, on the YouTube, on the Spotify, on the Anchor.
Is that all of it? Yeah, Anchor. Yeah. Google. Did you say Google? I don't know.
I didn't say Google.
It's all of those ones. Yes. Yeah. So
come and share your gateways.
That's it. Yeah, let us know. We'd love to hear about what got you into it.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. I think that's everything, isn't it?
I believe it is. We've cleaned house.
Nice. Right. We shall see you next week, hopefully.
Indeed, we shall. Be good until then.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.